This is a Sunday school, so any children, if you'd like to come sit up in the front, you're most welcome. Does anybody have a hymn you'd like to start with this morning? We have two. Yes. 25? We'll sing the first and the last verse of number 25. Life at best is very green, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, green in time. Green days are telling fast, and the dye will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, green in time. Green in time. Last verse of this song says, come from darkness into light, from the way that seemeth right. Sometimes we take the wrong way. When I was a kid growing up in a fishing village in Nova Scotia, one day my family, we went on a hike through back in the woods, went over the hills, around some lakes, and down some hunting trails. And after we wandered around for a while, we were good and lost. And so we found a hunter's cabin. We were able to pick our way into the cabin, and we found a map on the wall. And after getting our bearings, we headed in the right direction, and we found our way home. But we were late for supper. Does someone else have a song you'd like to sing? Yes. Number 68 on here. You like number 40? 22? Okay. Okay, we'll sing verse 1 and verse 3. The heavenly bridegroom soon will come to claim his bride and take her home to dwell with him on high. Trim your lamps and be ready. Trim your lamps and be ready. Trim your lamps and be ready for the bridegroom's time. I was headed back home, I got on the highway and was driving along, and I seemed to be getting further and further away from home. I was going the wrong direction, and my son carefully explained to me that if I would buy myself a GPS, I would never get lost again. Someone else have a song they'd like to sing?
Number 4.
Okay, let's sing number 4. The first and last verse. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me. While I was chained in sin's darkness, now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me.
Driving to a job, I had to clean a friend's carpets. And as we were driving down the road, he had given us a map and good directions how to get there. But we forgot the map at home. But thankfully, we had gotten a GPS. And so we were able to put his address into this little GPS, and we were going along the road. And we're doing a good job finding his house. Well, the GPS said, go straight ahead. But straight ahead, there was a chain link fence and the airport runway. But we could see the road on the other side of the airport, and we needed to get over there. We got lost with a GPS. Let's pray before we continue. Our God and Father, we give thanks for Your mercies. We give thanks for Your word. We give thanks that it directs us in the way that we should go. We just ask for help this morning, that if anyone is lost, that we'd come to know, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that the Lord Jesus, that You would find them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May we sing one more? Yes. Number 46. Glad
T-I-D-I-N-G-S, I-B-R-I-N-G, that J-E-S-U-S has come to save me. And He calls
I'm sure all of you know what this is. What is this? Yes. Yeah, it's a map. It's a book of maps. It has every state in the United States on here. It has Canada in here. And it helps us get to where we're going. And whenever I go somewhere, if I don't forget, especially if I've never been there before, I like to have a map with me. I like to have a GPS too. But sometimes the GPS doesn't know some things, and it's always good to refer back to the map in case you get lost. Coming here a couple days ago, driving down the highway, we found out that Highway 17 was closed. So we tried to find another way, I had to call the state troopers and ask them where to go. Well, they told me some, but they didn't know everything, so they said, call the county. So I called the county, and I had called a bunch of different people. Finally, I found a route that I could find on the map to get all the way around back down here to Montrose to get around the flooding and the roads. God has given us a road map for life, too. That's the Bible. This Bible has instructions for us so we know what to do in certain situations. And let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And this verse says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I have a very clear memory of a trip I took once. We were at a homeschool convention, and at the end of the day, we were in another city. At the end of the day, we went to a friend's house. They had invited us for supper, and we had been there before, so we didn't need a map. My wife had been there before too, so we were all set. And so we're driving along with the roads we knew, and then I'm going to turn here. No, that's not the way. And so, yes it is, let's turn. So we go this way, and we find that we don't know where we are. And you see, we both had different ideas of how to get where we were going. But neither of us knew exactly how to get there. We had some visitors in the car with us, and that kind of added to the shame of being lost. But our visitors were in a better position than we were, because they knew we were lost. We were driving along, but we did not know that we were lost. We like to figure things out ourselves. We like to try to find our way without consulting a map or consulting someone else on the side of the road. But we did not know that we were lost. Boys and girls, you are born as a sinner. You are separated from God because of your sin. You are lost because of your sin. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I ask you, boys and girls, do you know if you are lost? You need to be lost before you can be saved. But Jesus did not come to call the good people. The Lord Jesus calls sinners to repentance. So you need to know that you are lost in your sins. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1:1. If you are lost today, Jesus is looking for you. He's here today looking for you, searching you out, because He wants to save you. And in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you lost in sin? Are you lost? Well, we continued on our journey to our friend's house. We should have brought the map with us because our confusion continued. And as we drove around, you say, oh, I recognize this place. Oh, I recognize it too. We were here 10 minutes ago. You know, we were lost. We wanted to be with our friends, but we were separated from our friends because we were lost. We had to come to the point where we knew we were lost. We had to admit that we were lost. We made a phone call to our friend. Say, hello? Yeah, Rodney? This is Tim. Oh, hi, Tim. How are you? Well, I'm lost. Children, you need to admit that you are lost. You come to the meetings with your mom and your dad. You sit next to them. You feel safe next to your mom and your dad. But if you have not asked the Lord Jesus to save you, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting next to your mom and dad, you are still lost in sin. You need to call on God. You need to admit that you're lost and ask the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe on the Lord Jesus. Lord, save me. Well, my friend, he gave me directions to go to his house. We followed the good directions that he had told us on the phone. And we found our way to his house. And it was a good supper. She was a good cook. But the next time we went to visit these people, they had moved to another house. We had to look to Rodney to find our way to his house because he knew the way. And if you want to find the way to heaven, if you want to find the way to the Lord Jesus, you need to go to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way. It's only the Lord Jesus that through whom you can find salvation. We need the Word of God. Sometimes we know what to do without looking. We remember what we did before. We tried to get to my friend's house because we knew the way, but it didn't work. And in life, you may know what you're doing. You may have had a similar problem in your life before. And you just go on autopilot and you think you can solve your problems because you've done it before. But you always need to refer back to the roadmap of life. It is good to go back to the Bible to remind us to make those right choices. Because as a believer, when you are saved, you have the Spirit of God in you and you are led by the Spirit of God. After we're saved, we need to use the Bible as a roadmap for our life. Because we are facing a lot of choices, a lot of decisions, a lot of problems in our life. And we need the roadmap for our life. And because sometimes we just don't know which way to turn. And God's Word has directions for our life. And I want to look at some of those directions that God gives us for our life. Let's go to Psalm 119. We just have a few examples from God's roadmap for our life. And there are questions in life that children have. There's questions in life that older people have. The first question: should I learn a memory verse for Sunday school? What does God say? Your Sunday school teacher, your mom and dad says, okay, you have to learn the Sunday school verse. And sometimes you learn it. Sometimes you don't learn it very well. But does God really want us to learn the Word of God? Memorize these verses? Well, in Psalm 119 and verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. There's an answer from the Word of God. Should you memorize the Word of God? You need to know the Word of God. You need to have it hidden in your heart. So when you have a question in life, you can go to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God can bring that verse to your memory to help you in your problem in life, to answer your question. So it is a good thing for you to memorize your verses from Sunday school. Do any of you children know the Sunday school verse for this week? Have you memorized any verses that you remember? Wow. Nobody knows any verses. Well, I'm sure you do. Probably a little shy to say them. But it's good to have God's Word hidden in your heart memorize the Word of God. Another question. Maybe your mom tells you, go clean up your room, pick up all your clothes, get your room nice and neat. And then when you're done that, take out the trash. And you say to your mother, well, where in the Bible does it say I have to take out the trash? Where in the Bible does it say I have to clean up my room? Is there a verse that says that? Are you sure? Let's look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Your mom tells you, clean up your room, take out the trash. This verse says, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. All things. You know what that means? That means you got to clean up your room. That means you got to take out the trash or anything else your mom or your dad asks you to do. Children, obey your parents in all things because it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You want to please the Lord? You can obey your parents. And that's the beginning, children, that's the beginning of learning how to follow God, is to obey your parents. Because if you can't obey your parents, if you refuse to obey your parents, you're going to refuse to obey your boss at work. You're going to find ways around the rules. And it starts as a child to obey your parents. Another question that we have, do I have to do my homework? Anybody, does your kids ever have homework from school? You know, I wasn't very good at homework. I didn't like school. I figured that if I was going to be in school for 8 hours a day and they couldn't teach me everything they needed to teach me, why should I have to do homework at home? And so I failed in this question. Do I have to do my homework? But in Titus chapter 3, we find an answer for that question. You see, the Bible has answers for every question of life. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, put them in mind to be subject or obedient to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. It says, be subject to principalities. That word principalities, the first part of that word is principal. How many of you kids have a principal at school? I think if you go to school, you all have a principal at the school. The principal is the head authority over that in that school. And the teachers are under his authority. And the teachers tell you to do your homework. They have authority. They are part of the principalities and the authorities of this world. God says to submit yourselves to all the ordinances of man, as long as they don't go against the Word of God. We need to obey the principalities. And so God has given the teacher authority to tell you to do your homework. The principal is above that teacher. The government, the state government, or the government is above the principal. And so they tell him what he needs to do. And he tells the teachers what they need to do. And they tell you what you need to do. And they say, do your homework. And so there's another answer in the Bible for our questions of life. Another question we sometimes have, is it okay for me to text my friends in meeting? And let's go to Psalms, Psalm 89. Sometimes we can have good texts in meeting, or we can have texts that are distracting. I think they're all distracting. I remember one young man, he was in a meeting and the girl in front of him she didn't want to wear a head covering. And so he was trying to find the verse in the Bible that told about women wearing head coverings so she could show her. And he couldn't find where it was. So in the middle of prayer meeting, he was texting his friend who was in another prayer meeting, trying to find the answer to what verse this was, so he could show this girl that she should be wearing a head covering in the meeting. Now, is that right or is that not right? I am not going to answer whether it's right or wrong, but let's see what verse 7 says of Psalm 89. And you can judge for yourself what is acceptable during the meeting. Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. God is greatly to be feared. We need to respect the Lord Jesus at all times. In society today, respect for others it's lost. It's a lost art. People don't know how to respect one another. And respect for Jesus Christ in the assembly meetings, sometimes that's being lost too. We create distractions for others when there's talking, whispering, or if you're texting your friends. It is a distraction. And this verse tells us that God is to be respected when we come into the assembly of the saints. Another question that we sometimes have, especially at a facility like this, maybe there's a curfew, and we maybe have the question, if I go to a Christian Bible conference or a Christian camp, should I obey the rules or the curfew? And there's a lot of verses that answer that. We can look at maybe one in Romans chapter 2. Some of these verses may have other meanings, but the Spirit of God can use different verses to convict different ones. But Romans 2 verse 8, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And there's other verses that would reflect on that. Romans 6:16, Colossians 3:22, Hebrews 13:17, Joel 2:11. If you want to look those up later, you can come and ask me. But let's go to Acts chapter 16. The Bible gives us very clear instructions for different aspects of life. But He also gives us very clear directions as to how you can be saved. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have the Sunday school. That's why we have the gospel meeting, so you can learn how to be saved. But before you can be saved, you need to know that you are lost. If you're not lost, there's no need for you to be saved. And so you need to know that you are a sinner. You must see your sin. Sometimes we like to think that what I do, it's not so bad, and we can make excuses for it, and we can justify the things that we do. But if you do not see your sin, you cannot be saved. You are separated from God because of your sin. It doesn't matter how little it is. It doesn't matter how insignificant you think your sin is. That sin separates you from God. And you cannot have any communion or fellowship with God unless that sin is taken away. And it begins by admitting that you are lost. It begins by admitting that you are a sinner. And if you can admit that you are lost and you admit that you need to be saved, then I can help you. Then I can tell you how you can be saved. Acts 16:31. Here in this chapter, there's a story about a jailer. He was the keeper of the prison, and Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were preaching the word of God. And the authorities arrested them, and they beat them, and they threw them into the prison. The jailer, the prison keeper himself, took them and whipped them and threw them into the innermost prison and put their feet and their hands in the stocks. And there they were. During the night, Paul and Silas began singing praises and hymns to the Lord Jesus. Well, the jail prison keeper, he heard those hymns. He was convicted in his heart. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he needed to be saved. He was afraid. He was afraid. He came in trembling because he was afraid. He needed to be saved. And he says to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, that was a wonderful question for Paul and Silas to hear. What must I do to be saved? And he could answer them, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Do you want to be saved? Do you admit that you are a sinner? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Sometimes we ask people, I hear people telling others how to be saved. Especially in Malawi, we ask them, "How do you get saved?" "Well, you need to be baptized." Baptism doesn't save your soul. Others will tell you, "You need to make a decision to keep the commandments, a decision to turn around, change your life." You can't change your life. We had that in meeting yesterday. You need to have a new life. Some people say, "Oh, just tell Jesus you are a sinner and ask Him to save you." That doesn't tell the whole story. Some people say, "Ask Jesus to come into your heart." But can Jesus come into a heart that is full of sin? I don't think so. So how can you be saved? Our verse says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." Does anybody here today, do you want to be saved? Believe. What are you to believe? Believe that Jesus died. He took the punishment for your sins when He was hanging there on the cross. God knows your sins. And God, if you are saved, God has taken your sins and put them on Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Believe that Jesus shed His blood to wash your sins away. Believe that Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. And believe that Jesus is alive and He is in heaven today. And He's saying, "Come, come unto Me, and I will give you rest." If you are lost in your sins, Jesus is the only way to be saved. When you are saved, Jesus gives you an eternal life. What is eternal life? Some people say it's a life that has no ending. And that's true, but that's not what eternal life is. Eternal life also has no beginning. It has no ending. But eternal life is the life of Jesus Christ. And He wants to give you His life. Eternal life is a life that cannot sin. The Lord Jesus, when He lived here in this world, He became a man. He walked through this world. He was tempted, just like you are tempted. But He did not sin. He did not succumb to those temptations. The Lord Jesus, we are told, in Him is no sin. Jesus Christ could not sin. Jesus wants to give you that same life that has no sin, that cannot sin. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that life that will not sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God says, "When you're, if you believe, then you have that everlasting life." The Word of God is much more accurate than a GPS. Which one would you rather have? The Bible or the GPS? The GPS costs more. A lot more technology. But the Word of God has so much more than a GPS. This is the words of the very Creator who gave the intelligence for the GPS. This book is written by the inspiration of God Himself. You might get lost with a GPS, but when you have everlasting life, you will never be lost again. The Lord Jesus saves you, and He will never lose you. You will never perish. Maybe you have time to sing another song or two. Anybody have a song? Yes. Number 30. Someone else start that, please.
Weeping will not save me, though my face were veiled in tears. That could not allay my fears, could not wash the sins of years. Weeping will not save me. Jesus bled and died for me. Jesus suffered on the tree. Jesus waits to make me free. He alone can save me. Working will not save me. Purest deeds that I can do. Working will not.
Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for giving us your word. We just give thanks that we can use it as a roadmap for our life. We give thanks that it has in it the words of salvation. We just ask that if anyone does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would come in faith. Faith in Christ will save. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.